site called WF Demo. It's based on the team site template. Includes shared documents, calendar, there's a tasks list here. There's also a custom list I created called WF Announcements. When an item is created in this list, I want a task to be created, and I want the task to be assigned to somebody in the approvers group. If somebody in the approvers group does not act on it within a short period of time, I want to escalate to somebody in the escalations group. So we'll model that using a Visual Studio 2008 workflow to demonstrate how you can do timeouts and escalations. Escalate on timeout flow is the name of our project. Say OK. Visual Studio asks, what site do you want to use for debugging? I'll choose the WF demo site I just demonstrated. You see that it picks up the various lists on the site, including our custom list, WF Announcements. We'll use the tasks list to manage tasks for our workflow. The workflow will be started manually by users or when an item is created. We'll say finish. Now we see the Visual Studio Designer for state machine workflow. A state diagram has an initial state and a completed state. So we'll name the completed one completed, and we'll rename the initial one to initial. Click on the workflow design surface to access the property sheet for the workflow, and we can see that we can target the initial state and the completed state. So that's how you assign those values. Now we can model several interim states. First state that we'll model is called reviewing, waiting on customer input, and then we can model what happens when our workflow moves to the approved state, or when the item is rejected or escalated. Now that we've modeled the states, let's model the transitions between those states. In the initial state, we see that we have an event-driven activity. Inside there, that event-driven activity will fire whenever this on-workflow activated event occurs. The very first thing we want to do after that workflow activated event occurs is to create a task. The task needs a correlation token so that we can correlate all operations to this task across the workflow. We'll assign the owner activity to be workflow 1. Now that we have the correlation token set, next thing is that we need to set the task ID. Notice that it's 000 by default. We'll create a new member called task ID. That way we can programmatically set that value, as well as the task properties, the properties of the task that is being created. We'll programmatically set those values as well. Create a field. So now that we have the token ID and properties bound, those values set and bound to fields in the code behind, we can double click the task. Now we can start to work with those fields individually. So task ID is equal to GUID.newGUID. The task properties, we can set the title is equal to please review. We can maximize this to give ourselves a little more real estate. We set the description, review item, and let's grab the title from the item that the workflow is initiated on. We can do that by accessing the workflow properties variable that was created for us when the project was created. So we'll say workflow properties, and we see that we can access the task list, the history list, or we can access the item itself, and the item, list item, has a title field, so we'll use that. Once we set the description, we can maybe set the percent complete. So we'll say we'll create a member variable here called percent complete and set the float value F. That way we can say task properties percent complete is equal to our member variable. We can set who it is assigned to is equal to the approvers group. So now that we have the ID, title, description, it's percent complete, and who it's assigned to, we've modeled our task. So now we can go back to the design surface. Once the task has been created, maybe we want to give some indication to the user what's going on. We use that with the log to history list activity, and we'll do that just by telling them task is being created. And then finally we transition to a state where we are waiting on customer input. That is our reviewing state. Go back to the workflow, and we can see that transition is now modeled, and we're waiting on customer input. So now we need to model what happens with that reviewing state. We use the event-driven activity again. Event-driven activity in the review, the first one will be on task change. So when the task is changed, we need to have behavior back here. And we modeled the event-driven activity called on task change. Now let's drop the SharePoint activity that actually handles when a task is changed. And since this is a task operation, we need to correlate it to a specific task token. So we'll go back to the task token. So all operations that we do with activities are going to relate to the same task through that token. We'll bind up the task ID. And now we have a property called after properties. And this is what the properties of the task look like after it has been changed. So we'll bind that to a new member. And instead of changing it, I'll just leave it with this long, ugly name just so it kind of pops out in IntelliSense. When the task is changed, we want to grab the percent complete and stuff it into our variable called percent complete. So we'll say, there it is, that long, ugly variable, and we'll access the percent complete field. Go back to our design surface. Now that we've grabbed percent complete from this, now we can start to evaluate it and do maybe an if else. In the if else, we'll want to check to see is complete, is incomplete. The way that we determine if something is complete or incomplete in our model is by evaluating a condition. And that condition will let us know if the percent complete is equal to 100%. So we'll say percent complete is equal to 1F. That's how we can determine if it is the float value of 1.0 or 100%. And we'll even rename this is 100% complete condition, just to be as verbose as we could. Now, if it is 100% complete, meaning the percent complete field is equal to 1F, then it's going to move to the left, otherwise it'll move to the right. If it moves to the left and it is complete, next we need to, maybe we want to provide some indication to the user that that happened. So we'll say task is complete. And the next thing we want to evaluate is to check to see, well, if it was marked as 100% complete, what is the status? Is the status approved or is it rejected? Oh, sorry, renamed the wrong one. Is approved, we'll call it is approved check. Is approved, is rejected, and we can even add one more branch here, and that branch will be if it's escalated. So how do we check to see if something is approved or rejected? Well, we'll use another condition. Instead of using the declarative rule condition, this time we'll use a code condition. Name it is approved condition. That takes us to the code behind. If you notice, we look at our really long ugly name variable after properties. If we look at the properties of the task after it's been changed and try to query the status field, notice that there's not a status field here. So how do you grab the status? Oh, we used the workflow properties variable before. That allows us to access the task list that the workflow is using behind the scenes. Task list has a collection of fields. One of those fields is called status. And that field has an identifier. That is of type global unique identifier. So we'll say the GUID is equal to status ID. Now that we have the ID for the field, that allows us to say on task change after properties, there's a collection called extended properties. We access that through its object key in the hash table. The key is the ID. That has a value. We access through the two strings, so that's how we say string status is equal to the extended properties accessed through the ID, meaning the status field. and then we grab the value using the toString method. Once we have that, then we can say e.result is equal to status is equal to approved. So if it's approved, we'll return true, otherwise false. Now I can do some creative editor inheritance here. Inheritance by copy-paste. Now we'll say that this one is going to be called our rejected condition, and we'll just say rejected. Go back to full screen. Go back to our design surface. So the approved condition is now set. We copy-pasted and created our rejected condition, so we'll specify the code condition here, assign the is rejected condition. So if it's approved, if it's rejected, otherwise we get escalated. We can give the user some feedback again through the log. So we'll do that in each one of these. We'll let them know task approved, task rejected, task escalated. The way that we manage this then, instead of putting more behavior inside this task, we want to transition to the states that handle that capability or encapsulate the functionality for that state. So if something is approved, we need to transition to the approved state. If something is rejected, we transition to the rejected state. Similarly, escalated transitions to the escalated state. Now we've been able to model so far when in the reviewing state, if the task is changed and it is marked as 100% complete, and if it's approved or rejected or escalated. We haven't modeled yet if something is incomplete. So if it's not 100% complete, then if that's the case, then we need to model this that will log to the user to tell them task modified but not 100% complete. Waiting on user input. And now we will transition to the state that waits for user input. We'll do that here, set state. The state that waits for user input is our reviewing state, which is actually the state that we're currently modeling. So this is the reviewing state that waits on user input. We determine if the task has been changed. Is complete. If it is complete, we move left, otherwise we move right. We log to the history list, and if it's not complete, then we want to set it back to the state and wait for further input. So that's how we model the reviewing capabilities. Go back to the workflow. Now we can see transitions have been modeled, and when the task is changed, we either go to approve, rejected, or escalated. In the event-driven activity here, we can now model the timeout. So I had one event-driven for when the task is changed. Now we'll model for when a timeout occurs. We'll model our timeout. We'll double-click, and that takes us to the designer for the event-driven activity. And the event-driven activity fires when an event occurs. That event will be when the delay activity's timeout duration expires. So after, we'll just code it as 1 minute right now, something completely unreasonable, that after 1 minute, the delay activity will fire, causing the event handler to fire off, which means that we need to tell the user that something happened, timeout occurred, and then we need maybe to transition to a state where we can escalate. If that timeout occurs, we want to escalate, and the way that we do that is to transition to the escalated state. So now we have, when the timeout occurs, our transition is to the escalated state. So we have some work to do in the escalated state. We'll go into the state initialization activity. Double click. And inside here, the way that we escalate something is by updating the task. So we'll say update task. Again, we're working with the same task, so we need to correlate through the task token. Tasks have an ID. We'll bind to the task ID. We'll even reuse the task properties field. So we'll bind to task properties. And now that we've bound those, we can double click, And the way that you update something, or the way that you escalate, is by assigning it to the new group. Escalations. So that's all we had to do to escalate something, is once it gets into that state, we need to assign it to that group. We probably want to tell the user that we did that. Assigned task to escalations group. And now we need to wait for somebody in the escalations group to modify, to approve it or reject it or escalate it again. So the way that we do that is that we transition to the state that encapsulates that behavior, and that is our reviewing state. Go back to the workflow, we can see that behavior modeled, that we, after they change the task, it can be escalated. After it's escalated to the escalations group, then we go back to reviewing and wait on somebody in the escalations group to modify the task. Each state machine workflow has a completed state. We need to model the transitions to the completed state, and we'll do that in the state initialization activity again. Use set state activity to transition to the completed state. Could have further behavior here that models something that happens specifically when something is approved or rejected. We'll just, for time's sake, we'll just say that we'll set the state to completed. Go back to the workflow. Now they approved, we'll transition to completed. Rejected, we'll transition to completed. There you go. We have a fairly complex business requirement to escalate on timeout that we were able to model in a pretty short amount of time. We'll deploy the workflow. Deploy started. Deploy succeeded. We'll go to Internet Explorer, pull up our SharePoint site. So we have our WF demo site. We'll go to the WF announcements list. We'll create a new item. This is our new item. Testing the description and click OK. After we create our new item, we can see that the escalate on timeout flow, the in progress link is available next to the item. We'll click that. It takes us to the workflow status page. The workflow status page lets us review the task, any history for the event. So you'd see that the task is being created is here, and now we can even see the overall status of the workflow is in progress. We can go back and review the item, and we have three statuses that we can assign: approved, rejected, or we can explicitly escalate. We'll go with the happy case first, 100% approved. We'll click OK. Then the workflow history, we can see the task was marked as complete, and then the task was approved. And we can also see the workflow itself is completed. Now let's go manually kick off a workflow. This time we want to look to see what happens in our in the case where we modify something but it's not 100% complete. We can see in the history, task was modified but it's not 100% complete. We're still waiting on user input. Go back and review again. Edit. We can mark it as 100% complete. This time I will mark it as escalated to demonstrate the escalation case. Click OK. Now we can see that we got some more log activity. The task was marked as 100% complete, then it was escalated and assigned to the escalations group. You see now that it's no longer assigned to the approvers, it's now assigned to escalations. I can go back and edit the item one more time, review it, and we can see the percent complete is now 0. Percent complete should be, we'll say 100%. Somebody in the escalations group decides to reject it. Click OK. And now we see, if we refresh, the workflow itself is completed, the task is rejected, and we can see the entire history for the workflow here. The last thing we want to demonstrate is the timeout case. And this is going to be a little more difficult in the screencast to show because it requires waiting a specified period of time. Rather than making you wait that amount, we'll show the after effect of it. So we'll do that first by state machine workflows are really easy. We'll say workflows, create the workflow. Notice that it's in progress. And now, after I let 2 minutes pause while I trimmed out some of the video, after 2 minutes, you can see that the timeout occurred, and then the task was assigned to the escalations group. So we go to the escalations group here, and we see that our timeout works as well.